Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. This one hits home for us because we both own motorcycles.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we don't.
This definitely is like not
the worst. I get the argument for doing these shows. Okay. You tie in with an event, it's something unique. This was just oil and water, man. Not a good mix. I mean, it doesn't look that great on TV. They don't know what the hell's going on. You don't make any money on the gate because, you know, you're having it at a free event. Maybe you do a Nitro at this thing, but man, I just hated this concept. Like, we have it on screen at the mark we're going to start, and I'm just looking at it. I'm like, how is this a good idea? And you did it like three times. It's not like this is a one-time thing. So we're not covering this because it's a five-star classic. We're covering it because it was just a shit show in so many different ways. What do you have to say for yourself? You're the one.
Yeah, this is, we've got some notes here too on like how much money they predictably lost, you know, doing this. And like, you know, maybe if you had some bigger stars on this one, I say bigger stars, like you had Hogan and DDP, but also like some actual people that could wrestle. We'll talk about, you know, why Jay Leno is in there and stuff like that. But, and just the whole idea of why they did this and things like that. And so, why we're covering this, because it is such just a weird kind of thing. Like, you know, it's fun to explore like these kind of unusual circumstances that like a match like this takes place, kind of like we did the collision or the, you know, North Korea stuff. And, you know, there's a little bit of backstory to some of these, but even like you said, this is not a five-star match. There, you know, even the backstory here, there's not like, it's just weird. And so we're going to cover it and see what happens here. But yeah, it's just weird going into this. I'm just going to say weird is the best way to describe this one.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, and you'll talk about this, but like, there wasn't much of a build to this thing. Like, it all happened like within a few weeks. That's what I couldn't believe. Like, I mean, literally like 9 or 10 days before this thing, they shot like the big Tonight Show angle. I'm thinking that happened months before the match. So yeah, I completely agree. So anyways, well, we'll cover it all, man. But let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So this is Road Wild. We started as Hog Wild, but there was some issue with Harley Davidson and hogs and trademarks. So this is called Road Wild. It's August 8th, 1998. We're in Sturgis, South Dakota. So this is like a small town that has this massive biker fest every single year. And it sounds absolutely wild, but they estimated about 8,500 are in attendance for this thing. We had Heenan today and Shivani on the call, got Okerlund there. We got the whole gang. I mean, it's, you know, the talent was on the show. I mean, they, you know, they put their best foot forward, but man, between the booking of this thing and just the crowd atmosphere, it was a disaster. Meltzer's poll, 67% thumbs down, 17% thumbs up, 15% thumbs in the middle. Meltzer said, horrible matches, mind-boggling booking, horrible crowd reactions. Tough to argue any of that. Best match on the show, Jericho and Juventud. Worst match, Steve McMichael and Brian Adams. Again, there's just talent all over this place, but ugh. Started off with Mang and the Barbarian in 4 minutes. And Jeff, keep in mind, like, how, like, we forget because, like, we watch wrestling all the time, but, like, if you put, like, someone that doesn't know what the hell's going on in front of this stuff, what's their attention span? Like you're there, you're physically sitting on your bike. You probably have your, you know, 78th beer of the day in your hand. You know, you've been out there drinking in the summer heat all day. And it's like, we're going to put this stuff in front of you where you don't know either of these people. I mean, some of them, sure, probably like grew up fans, but I remember, you know, hearing something about these shows and they're like, yeah, no one really knew who anyone except Hulk Hogan was. So, you know, again, you're watching Megan the Barbarian in like 4 minutes, man, that probably felt like a long time. Then Public Enemy defeating the Dancing Fools of Disco Inferno and Alex Wright. That's 15 minutes. So think about that. Like entrances are probably what, 6 or 7 minutes between the two teams.
Yeah,
you're talking like the better part of a half hour for this, right? Like what? And what could they have possibly doing that was that interesting?
And that was like that was one of the longer matches on the card too, which is just crazy. Yeah,
Saturn defeating Canyon and Raven in a Ravens Rules match. Mysterio Jr. defeating Psychosis to determine the number one contender for the Cruiserweight Championship. Stevie Ray was your television champ. He defeated Chavo Guerrero Jr. 2 minutes. Steve McMichael defeating Brian Adams in 6 minutes. Juventud Guerrero defeating Chris Jericho to win the Cruiserweight title in 16 minutes. So two Cruiserweight matches on this show, which is kind of interesting.
And a title change. Yeah.
Yeah. The semi-main event was a NWO Invitational Battle Royal that Goldberg would win. All right. So you had Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Conan, Kurt Hennig, Sting, Scott Norton, Lex Luger, the Giant, all in this thing.
Sure.
So, I mean, there are like a lot of talent, but like in some 7 minute battle royal. And then this main event, DDP and Jay Leno against Hogan and Bischoff. Whew. I mean, we'll get more
into it. It's really mind-boggling. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, it is. And I got more to say, but we'll talk about it during. So I know there wasn't much to this, but how did we get to this match?
Yeah, it was actually so there's not a ton. And so Bischoff kind of said on his podcast, he said that really Leno came to him and said that he wanted to do this. I saw some other stuff out there that said, like, you know, they went back and forth, like there was, you know, but it was just weird no matter what. And Leno saying, you know, said, you know, would you wrestle? He goes, yeah, I'll wrestle. And so they had a little bit of back and forth and, you know, just kind of figure out what it was. And so, and it was, you had Hogan and Bischoff kind of taking over the Tonight Show for a week. So for our younger listeners, you know, he kind of hosting the Tonight Show at the time. And so, you know, kind of having him take over, you have also like Jay Leno was involved in this. You might hear that Kevin Eubanks was his band leader. And so you might, you know, they kind of just play in the angle of what if they took over the show. And so, and at the time, Jay was extremely popular, you know, and kind of how they can make it work. And it was just a whole really weird thing. And so you had DDP showing up on the show as well too. And then being challenged literally on Leno's show for this. I don't know if like, that's really it. Like they just kind of showed up. It was a thing. I do wonder like, and we can talk about it a little bit more during the match, like maybe trying to capture some of the previous year's Road Wild where you had the Rodman Malone stuff. It's just, you know, and maybe I, you know, we can talk about it too, like maybe would this card have worked if it wasn't this show? I guess like, you know,
I just don't know what you could put in front of this crowd to where they would have like enjoyed it. You don't know who the guys are. You don't know the storylines. You're not fans of the product. And wrestling relies on it. Like you could put a dead crowd in a football game and still have a great game, right? But this stuff relies on the crowd and they just didn't give a shit.
And so I like, it's just weird. And so we'll kind of get into it, you know, I've got some questions during this one, but let's kind of put this one on. Like I said, there's very little build up till this one. It did not make a ton of sense other than like you've got Hogan and Bischoff, because of course the Hollywood NWO, and then you've got DDP and Leno, just tag team, and like you said, in front of just this kind of, you know, an odd crowd.
So, yeah, we'll track the audio too, so you can hear some of the like just the way it like came across.
But
we're literally looking at like I mean, I can see like food tents in the back, and I see, you know, people on there, you know, I guess they were sitting down, but then you hear like the motorcycles. So anyways, we're season two, episode one of this, but it's WCW Road Wild 1998, 2 hour, 25 minute mark. That's the 2 hour, 25 minute mark. Jeff, are you ready for this?
As much as I can, like, I think we've only turned off one match in the history of this. And so I don't know if this is going to be another one, but we're going to get into it. So I'm as ready as I can be. Let's do this.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff. Show about his pants.
Doesn't need to, though.
Leno in a blue t-shirt. Leno
looking on the outside. Yeah,
DDP starting.
He points at Hollywood Hogan, and here we go. Or do it.
Bischoff with the t-shirt tucked in.
I see Virgil down there as well, too.
Yeah, I think most Elizabeth is ringside as well.
Hogan and Paige will begin things.
I mean, it's not... Like, listen how quiet it is. This is your main event.
Sounds like kids in the audience.
We're all sitting down.
They are on bikes.
Diamond Steel with a smiley.
Yeah, I thought they sat on there, but not all of them, maybe. But like, I remember the 1 year, I think the first year they did this, they were like,
Hogan pushed him back to the corner. Yes, Kevin Eubanks at ringside.
Okay, a little DDP chant.
So,
I mean, the problem is like, you know, you bring in Rodman, you bring in Mr. T, hell, you bring in Zeus. I mean, you bring in people that are athletic, okay, you know, or at least look athletic. This one, even at the time, and by the way, I'm a huge Leno fan. Like, I like Leno. I'm like more Leno. I was always Leno versus Letterman and Leno versus Conan. I just like Leno a lot, and I feel like most people our age don't. It's like Leno's more of like an old people.
I don't like him. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I get it. Right. I don't know why. Just for whatever reason, I always liked Leno a lot. Anyways. So, but I remember seeing this. I'm like, this is stupid. The guy's not an athlete. And then, you know, it's like Bischoff. I mean, at least Bischoff's young. Like Leno's like, I don't know what he was at the time. 55 years old, certainly not athletic. Like, it's just stupid. Like it's just like, it's so fake and so dumb. And, you know, even if he was just in the corner instead of in the actual match, like, you know, I could have gotten a little bit more behind it. But I thought at the time it was stupid. I think it's even stupider now. But just my opinion. What about you?
So he's 72 now. So, that would put him at 48 in this one. So, yeah.
He looks older than 48.
Yep. So that's Kevin Eubanks too, who again, the band leader, kind of taking some shots at him, whatever.
We talk about the involvement of the strike up. One, two, almost got a two count. Somehow I can't.
Almost got it.
So the crowd on this one too, the numbers I saw on this one, it said that, and this was kind of Meltzer's write up. It said, in front of a free, and I'll come back to this, a free, largely biker crowd estimated to those live anywhere between 8,500 and 12,000. Of course, exaggerated on year by Bobby Heenan as 35,000 to 40,000. For a hot promotion, which WCW still is, you are talking about giving away anywhere from 200,000 to 350,000 gate, plus another $100,000 or more in merchandise. And so they did sell about $30,000, just shy of that, worth of merchandise at this event. And so I'll say that, like, I'll start with, okay, this was free to the people that like were at in the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And if you're not familiar with it, I have friends that have gone to it, and literally people drive cross country on their motorcycles, their Harleys, and go to this little town in South Dakota of Sturgis. And pretty much it gets taken over by the, you know, motorcycles and bikes and stuff like that. It's about an hour away from Mount Rushmore. My buddy and I actually went to Mount Rushmore. It was like the weekend before. And so we're passing like all these motorcycles and stuff. We didn't realize at the time how close we were to Sturgis. And so, so we got out of there before it was the thing. Got Bischoff now doing like Shane McMahon kicks.
Look at the balance of Bischoff lasers kicks over, guys.
There was a pop for DDP. Did they stack the deck against themselves with this? They gave it away for free. Like this weird Jay Leno who just got the tag. Like it was that would this have done better on like a monthly pay-per-view, maybe like trying to, you know, maybe doing a little bit more, like what could have fixed
this? It was a terrible idea. Keep in mind that like at this point, like, you know, you're doing, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for an average gate. Right. So even say, you know, you could have sold a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of tickets. The pay-per-view didn't do well.
Yeah.
Because I think people thought the concept was stupid. So they knew they weren't going to get like a great wrestling show anyways. So it was just a bad idea all around. I mean, they lost a lot of money because of that. But I mean, you figure you could have, you know, put 10, 15,000 people in an arena and had a far better show, and it could have had any theme you want.
I'm looking here. It still was not the worst buy rate. Yeah, I'm just kind of looking at here,
keep in mind too how hot wrestling was in 98. Okay. So like by any number, they were doing, and I say they as in both companies, were doing double what they were doing the year before. Mm-hmm. So in 97, WWE's average gate was 80,000, and in 98 it was 160,000. WCW's 70,000 up to 150,000. So even in 97, when NWO was going, you know, Austin was starting to catch fire a little bit, Attitude Era, like 97, good year for the business. 98 doubled it for both companies. So in the midst of this, you know, you're doubling, you know, at some point you're going to have Jay Leno for this show. Why not sell out the Staples Center? You do it in LA. Maybe you bring in some other celebrities.
At the time, what he would have been, Leno was filming in California, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause Letterman was New York. And so, yeah. Yeah. It's just weird. So this is about 2 years old. This was WCW's 10 highest grossing pay-per-views by buy rate. This show came in at number 9.
But that's how hot the business was.
Yeah. Like, it speaks more to that.
Yep. People were just buying everything in 98.
Yes. Yeah. No. And I think it much more speaks to that. Now here's the oddball, like in retrospect, you know, hindsight 2020 on this, we can see like this shouldn't have worked, but I guess when you start looking at it from the lens of like, okay, like even like the Logan Paul stuff, like you're bringing people in that are celebrities and hot at the time, like you're dead on. Like Leno was bringing, like this was, you know, the big, you know, we don't talk about it as much anymore, but like the talk show wars and stuff like that. You know, it was Letterman versus Leno. So to bring in Leno is kind of a big deal. Now, you got Leno even doing like a weird kind of, you know, some little moves, nothing crazy. He's not going off the top rope or anything here, but you figure Paige and everybody else is kind of carrying this one. But it is like, you know, there's like an RV driving through the back right now. I don't know if you just saw that. That was weird as hell. Like kind of doing these things. Yeah. Leno not looking good on that one, but getting the pin on Hogan, which would be hilarious. It does make sense when you look through the lens of 1998 and what the landscape was like. Yeah.
I mean, the business was just so hot at this point. Like I understand like in, you know, 94 doing a free show on the beach or something, but at this point, you know, God, the amount of money that you could make, it still baffles me. Like I don't think it's said enough or it's necessarily understood how bad WCW just screwed up. I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue in 1998 and you're out of business less than 3 years from this point. Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
Yep.
Yeah, it's possible if you're in an industry that dies or you have technology that's irrelevant, you know, or there's massive fraud like an Enron. I mean, I get it, right? Like businesses fail, but for you to be, you know, I mean, at this point in 1998, you could value WCW at well over $1 billion. Okay. The argument could be made that WCW is a billion-dollar brand. If in September of 1998, they wanted to sell it, you know, you look at like what UFC went for, billions and billions of dollars. You look at what WWE's valued at as a publicly traded company, billions and billions of dollars. At this point in 1998, WCW, again, you can easily say they're a $1 billion brand. So how do you, in 3 years, run a $1 billion brand completely into the ground? And the guy that's laying in all these bad looking punches right now, Eric Bischoff, I think he's a hell of a nice guy. I believe that he was not qualified and able to handle the job that he had.
Eventually, correct.
And
yes.
He blames Time Warner and, oh, there's standards and practices. And, oh, I had all these issues. And, you know, if you booked good storylines, you would still be in business to this day. Like that, that's the issue, is like booking like this bullshit. Like this is okay. So he hits him with the Knox.
One, two. Nate's got away.
EDP kicks out. Wasn't sure if that was going to be the end, but you get what I'm saying. Is like, yeah. How do you ran a $1 billion company into the ground, and you can say, oh, well, it was Time Warner, it was WCW, it was that, you know, it wasn't me. I'm sorry, but like, if you weren't booking Jay Leno and you were booking Hulk Hogan versus a young up-and-comer, and you put the young and up-and-comer over, and you create some new stars, and those new stars sell, you know, millions of t-shirts like Steve Austin, you know, why is WWE still in business? Because Vince McMahon's a lot better at what he does than Eric Bischoff was. Mm-hmm. He made Steve Austin. He made The Rock. He made Mankind. He made all these stars, whereas WCW, they didn't make new stars. They caught lightning in a bottle with one storyline that they really didn't have that great of a run with. I mean, the NWO got pretty lame pretty quickly, you know, in reality. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's amazing to see if, you know, if they could have kept it, what would it be? I mean, what would it be worth to this day? There's no reason why WCW and WWF couldn't coexist. I mean, look, I don't think Tony Khan's perfect, but he's building a $1 billion brand, and they're probably going to get a massive new TV deal. All they're doing is what could have been WCW. Hell, it could have been ECW.
Well, and I'm looking at this too from the, and I said the year before, it was actually the pay-per-view before this was the Bash in the Beach, which was the Hulk Hogan, Rodman, DDP, Malone fight. Looking at the same list. So while this show Road Wild, Hog Wild was number 8 on the list of highest grossing pay-per-views, the Bash at the Beach, which was the pay-per-view, like just barely a month before this one, was number 2. It was the second highest grossing pay-per-view ever. So when you start looking at it through that lens, and like you figure it from a financial and a business perspective, like, yeah, why wouldn't you try and replicate some of this with these guys? You got Leno and Bischoff in there right now. A real standoff of the Titans here.
Oh, Leno went to the hair.
There's a little bit of noise, but everyone's just sitting flat on there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so from a business perspective, like, okay, we're trying to catch lightning in a bottle again, like you said, like with this pay-per-view, because it was so successful, a low blow from Leno. It was so successful, like the pay-per-view previous to this one. And so while watching this in like a vacuum is super weird. And Jay Leno throwing just a stiff shot onto Eric Bischoff there, like really got all of it. Here we go again with this. Just a hell of a right-handed punch there. Boy, these two guys.
The other thing too is this wasn't Leno's crowd. Like I don't know who the celebrity would be, but I'm sure there are some celebrities you could have put in front of this crowd that would have gone nuts for, right?
Well, and everything I read,
like a country music singer or something, I don't know.
And everything I read, it was Leno because he has a motorcycle. Like he is a car buff. People know him.
He's a car guy. Like I didn't even know he owned motorcycles.
Right. Yeah. And so if you didn't know that, but still you're having Jay Leno be your biggest draw on your card. Like when you've got Hogan and DDP, like that doesn't make sense.
And you had Sting and Goldberg and Nash and Hall. Oh, okay. Hogan accidentally punched Bischoff.
Leno, believe it or not, sends Hogan over the top.
And we're not that far removed. Like two pay-per-views ago, I'm kind of going through a list right here. Evan Eubanks, the band leader. It was Sting and the Giant was Great American Bash. So like, that was your pay-per-view too. Oh, weird. What kind of pin is that? He had him. Sure. Okay. Kind of did him, put him in a headlock, had his shoulders up, but still pinned him. Sure, I guess.
How about the quickness of Jay Leno? How about the teamwork?
Quickness of Jay Leno. Okay, Tony, calm down. Like.
God, that's terrible music.
Yeah, that was. That's just weird.
All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. Initial thoughts.
Whatever there is of the aftermath. Yeah, I don't like. It was whatever. It wasn't good. I'm not going to try and lie. Yeah,
it wasn't good and it wasn't terrible. You know what? One of my big critiques is that this wasn't a main event. Like if this was in the middle of the show, it's like, oh, that was kind of fun. Right. But like, this was your main event.
Yeah. That piece, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, and so now you've got NWO kind of doing a beat down to Leno and a couple others. Like, yeah, they're just kind of out there. We're about to get a run in a second here. Yeah. So
Goldberg.
And here comes Goldberg.
Oh, so Goldberg had just won the championship.
Yep. So coming out here, Goldberg trying to make the save.
Double spear Hogan to Bischoff.
Yep.
Goldberg to the rescue. That's unity.
That's kind of cool with motorcycles, but has nothing to do. Or they can hear him kind of revving and stuff. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Okay, see, this is even dumber to me now because Goldberg had just won the title over Hogan, you know, what, a couple weeks before this or whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So why wasn't Goldberg your main event?
Yeah.
Have him beat Kevin Nash or Scott Hall or I don't know. I mean, right? Like, why not and then they did that stupid NWO Battle Royal. So you didn't even have to think about this. Like, if you're trying to pop a buy rate, you've got your brand new champion who's hot as hell, and you're not even putting him in a match. Why not put him against a heel that he can beat the shit out of? That should have been your main event. Like, think about this. Like, and again, how hard is this, right? So, and maybe you end with this. Maybe you end with Leno. But why not have, hey, we're going to do, you know, and I know Goldberg beat Scott Hall earlier in the night, but Scott Hall, Goldberg, and Scott Hall comes out and he says, I've never seen so much trash in my life. This place smells, right? Like, so even if you don't know the guy, you're booing the hell out of him.
Cut the heel promo.
Yep. Then Goldberg beats him in a couple minutes.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
But this is where it's like, you know, Bischoff can blame, you know, standards and practices and WCW and Time Warner all he wants, but this is horrible. Like how you were still making hundreds of millions of dollars in 98 booking this shit is beyond me. It was terrible. Just shows you how hot the business was. Like, this isn't good, man. Like, every single thing that WWE and AEW is doing, like, this year is way better than this. Yet, this product was hot as hell.
I think it speaks a little bit to just the success of wrestling in general when you've got, like, you know, people like Logan Paul and even Bad Bunny who, whatever, but I get why, like, you know, there's a crowd that he appeals to. This is them trying to capture that, but it just wasn't there yet. And so when you get this now, like, yeah, celebrities have always been a part of WrestleMania too, but it's just kind of like, you know, this wasn't necessarily the right way to take this. But so aftermath, what there was here, like, this was, and I had forgotten about this. You had Hogan announcing his retirement actually on Jay Leno's show. There was a press conference as well too. It was a work to get into a publicity stunt to hype at the time with Jesse Ventura running for Minnesota a governor. And so, and trying to get people to, it was really weird. Like I kind of went back and did some research on it. There's no other way to cut it. It was just weird. So, but you eventually had, and Hogan took some time off after this a little bit too. Eventually came back in early January, as we all know, this
was finger
poke of doom. Yeah. And so
again, how bad was this?
Yeah. And it's almost like this was kind of the start, like this summer of 98, you know, really it started to fall apart. And so, you on the flip side where you had all this kind of weird stuff with Hogan, DDP, he did eventually have a title shot. He won actually War Games, which the following pay-per-view, which we're going to cover that one in a little bit. That was also just a, oh boy, that was a negative 4-star match. And we've got it on our list to cover eventually here. The War Games from 1998, which was Team WCW versus the Team NWOs. And so just absolutely terrible. But
I'm thinking World War III.
The War Games. Yeah. And so, but DDP and
Goldberg, Warrior was in that one, I think.
Yes. Yeah. It was really weird, kind of swinging through the cage. Yeah. So they actually did have the match of the year, which was WCW's match of the year in 1998. That was Goldberg and DDP. He ended up actually having winning the United States Championship over Bret Hart. They were World Line Year, like World War III. DDP winning that one. Like I said, just it was weird. It really was. And so
you're being kind by calling it weird. It was fucking terrible. It was
bad. So getting into the reviews on this one, DDP, like obviously Leno and Bischoff weren't ever ranked for PWI. DDP was 4. Hogan was 53 this year. So the PW Torch on this one, they gave it 2.5 stars. Sure enough, Goldberg came out and went nuts, spearing both Bischoff and Hogan. He then held Leno and Page's arm. It was smart for WCW to get Goldberg out there to share in some of the celebrity hysteria. Leno also needed someone to hold him up because he was ready to collapse. Hard to rate the match, but it was really good for what it was. Okay. Leno was far from a star athlete, but that almost added to the charm of the match. Rather than have outside athletes come in and try to be real wrestlers, Leno didn't give any pretense for being an actual wrestler or athlete. Instead, he found a good balance between doing comedy, but not belittling the match or the wrestlers. Well booked. 2.5 stars. Meltzer, on the other hand, Jay Leno wrestled, sort of. Well, he was in a wrestling match and grabbed one hold and threw two punches and did a double team clothesline and scored the pin over Eric Bischoff at the end to apparently prove that he was really the king of late night television. He was terrible athletically, but was kept well hidden and he didn't embarrass himself. Hulk Hogan and DDP once again worked with non-wrestlers. This time, two men who hardly qualify as world-class athletes, but it still blew away their match last month, probably because they knew to keep things shorter and simpler, which the match previously, that was almost a 25-minute match with Malone and Rodman, which, yeah, no thanks. The match had good heat, nothing special, and unlike last month, the audience didn't sleep through the match. Leno got a good reaction, but on anywhere close to what you'd expect. I'm not even gonna finish reading. 1.25 stars. So 1.25, and what did I say? 2.5, which, oh boy, if you come close to that, I'm gonna be shocked here, buddy. So what are you thinking here? I'm feeling it's gonna be pretty low, I'm not gonna lie,
dude. I mean, I'm giving this a payoff score of a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because it's like, it just makes it so stupid and fake when you put an unathletic 48-year-old in there. Like, it's, again, you know, the jackass Johnny Knoxville stuff. He took bumps. It was fun. Like, right? Like, Logan Paul, he wrestles. Shaquille O'Neal in AEW, really good. Like, again, I have no problem with, like, you know, crossover people. Bad Bunny, but like, dude, you got to do the part in your own way and, you know, or have some legitimacy. So I hated that. I hated the atmosphere. The storyline made no sense. The booking was terrible. Like, everything about this just sucked. I mean, I actually thought the match would be even worse than it was. That was the only thing. I'm like, well, it was an okay 12-minute match. It wasn't terrible, but I hated this. I mean, this is one of the worst things that we watched. It's almost as bad, but not quite as bad as the Goldberg Kevin Nash match. But it sucked, man. What do you think?
Yeah, you were generous, my friend. I'm giving it a 1.
Like, okay. Yeah,
I'm right there with you. I actually thought 2, but I just, like, it did absolutely nothing for me. And I say the only reason, and I even like, I, we've never given a zero, I don't think, on the show, but
no, we have.
At least that I remember, I would say the only reason I even gave it a point was because, like we kind of explained on the show, like if you start looking at it through the lens of what WCW was doing at this point in 1998, it actually does make sense. Like why they booked this the way they did with Jay Leno. It's just a quick build. It didn't need much. Like maybe we'll get a cheap pop, like whatever. But in the grand scheme of wrestling, and like I said, they kind of were leading to the end of WCW here. Like, not good, not good at all. So yeah. You know what is good though, Tom? I feel like, you know, if you're going to have, you know, something you're not going to get a low score on is Dudes and Manscaped products. Make sure to go to their website, payoff20 for 20% off, free shipping, everything in the store. You only get 15 if you don't use our code. So you get that extra 5%, 20% off total. At least that won't leave you disappointed. You're not going to leave the ladies disappointed. You're not going to leave the dudes disappointed. Like, you're going to look great. You're going to feel great. Unlike this match, I'm not feeling great after this one. It's not looking great. Hopefully next week we can pick it back up a little bit.
Man.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, there's times where we'll watch a 40-minute match and it'll fly. That hurt though. That felt
painful. Yeah. Well, we did it. I'm glad we did it. And we'll never talk about it again.
Ever. So. I don't ever want to talk about that match again. And you're welcome for keeping this short and sweet. Yep. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.